In Texas, the road is part of who we are. From Dallas traffic to Hill Country back roads, you need coverage that keeps up. At Northwest Insurance Agency, we're proud to serve Texans with the best home, auto, and business insurance paired with honest rates, real protection, and local agents who understand life around here. Call us for a quote at 1-855-887-5656 or visit us at nwagencies.com.
This is the On the Pony Express podcast,
part of the On3 Network.
Check out all the SMU coverage you need at ontheponyexpress.com. Now, here's your host, Billy Embody.
Billy Embody.
1, 2, 3, let's go.
Welcome in, everybody, to the On the Pony Express podcast. I'm Dean Rulski. You know, yesterday we talked a lot about SMU basketball. It's time to talk about some Mustang football. SMU will take the field for the final time in the spring Friday night on the Pettis practice fields, where they will host their spring game or spring private event to give it its official title. So today we'll sort of walk through some storylines or what fans should be looking for on Friday night and what coaches should be looking for out of their team. You know, it's going to be a big opportunity for some players to make sort of a final impression before the end of the transfer portal, you know, to see, does this coaching staff think they need to add someone in a certain position, or are they satisfied with what they see throughout spring, but especially on Friday night when the lights are turned on? You know, it'll be a small event. Some season ticket holders are allowed to go and some members of the media as well, but it's a pretty small event as what you've seen across the country where teams are sort of shutting down these spring games. They don't want, you know, all these players to get the sort of national or airtime in general to potentially attract other schools and let those other schools poach players. So Mustangs will host their private event on Friday night. We'll talk about sort of each position group, what you should see, what we've seen throughout the spring so far. But before we jump in to the offense, let's hear a word from our sponsor at StatusJet.
The On the Pony Express podcast is presented by our friends at StatusJet, StatusJet.com. Appreciate their support of us, but also giving you guys a discount on a round-trip flight. When you reach out to them and you mention code PONYUPACC or On the Pony Express, they'll give you that discount. Whether it be a family vacation of a lifetime, teaming up with a bunch of families to go somewhere, or taking clients and work colleagues on a work trip, StatusJet is the way to go. They can get you from point A to point B with that level of luxury you'd expect and into those tough to get to places as well. So call them today. Just start the conversation because it takes zero membership fee as well. So that's another plus with our friends at StatusJet.
All right, so thank you to StatusJet. Again, now as we dive into the spring game on Friday night, we can start with quarterback, where at least on paper, this position seems pretty straightforward. You've got the starter in Kevin Jennings. You know, you just want to see him keep doing what he did last year, extend plays throughout the game, find receivers, maybe throw the deep ball. You know, as we'll show you some clips here, he's found Jordan Hudson a lot throughout the spring. I think that connection has grown between them two, and, you know, hopefully that showcase tomorrow night. But for him, again, there's not too much you need to see. You know, the one thing you could point to last year was turnovers, so maybe you want to see him play a clean game, whatever that is. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a total scrimmage 11 on 11 through, you know, full four-quarter game. I think you could see some potential red zone drives, some tempo drives. It'll just kind of be a mix. But again, can Kevin Jennings, you know, play a clean game, hold on to the football, things like that? That's what you want to see from him. And the Mustangs had some problems in the red zone throughout last year. So if they do some red zone drills, can they punch it in for a touchdown more times than not? Behind him, you've got Keldrick Luster. And I really want fans to see his arm strength and that emerge in the game tomorrow night, because he can absolutely sling it. He can run it too. Really, all three quarterbacks in this room that are healthy, you know, we'll talk about Tyler Van Dyke in a little bit, but all three healthy quarterbacks are dual threat. Both can run and throw the football. And so for Keldrick Luster, can he just continue to take the next steps and be ready as the backup? As for right now, we expect him to be the backup. So can he be ready when his number is called? And he'll certainly have opportunities tomorrow night on the Pettis practice fields. And then lastly, fans will get their first true look, in person at least, of true freshman early enrollee Ty Hawkins, of course, the four-star IMG quarterback that flipped from TCU to SMU, has impressed so far this spring. So can he finish the spring on a high note as the way he started it? And we'll talk about, you know, all the freshmen that have come in early, but he is one, along with the receivers that he's been throwing to, that has really, really done a nice job. You know, all the coaches have said they put these freshmen, they just kind of threw them into the deep end, but Hawkins is someone who has seemed to have thrived in that role. So again, you know, after the spring game, we'll talk about all these players' springs as a whole and where they need to, you know, take the next step. But I think for tomorrow, you know, the quarterback position is pretty straightforward. And you guys, for the ones who will be in attendance, you guys will be able to sort of make up your own minds after Friday night. And then for the ones who aren't able to make it, we'll have you covered on the Pony Express with a notebook, maybe some highlights, and then a podcast, you know, probably early next week, recapping the spring game. So we'll move over to running back. This is, of course, an interesting room where you lose Breshard Smith, who will hope to maybe have his name called on Friday night in the NFL draft in rounds two or three. But you also lose LJ Johnson, Jalen Knighton, Kamar Wheaton. So those are four backs that, you know, combined for well over a majority of the production from last year, almost all of it. And so SMU, it's a young room. You've got redshirt freshman Derek McFall, who, of course, you saw flashes of last season. You know, they were able to redshirt him, which was key. So, as I said, he's a redshirt freshman, but you saw glimpses of his potential, and he has really seems to have taken the next step in his game this spring, you know, breaking long runs. You know, he played a little bit of receiver in high school, doing it all in Tyler, Texas. And so he's got the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, too. So I think for him and Chris Johnson Jr., who is the Miami transfer running back, can you see their home run speed? They both have it. They both have the ability to make a man miss and let it fly and, you know, be the one of, if not the fastest player on the field. So for the run game is, can you get one? And again, part of that, of course, is down to blocking two, and we'll get to the offensive line. But can you, you know, get that 70, 50-yard touchdown? It's going to be hard to. We'll see how physical things get, because when you get some of these runs up the middle, they might blow it dead a little early. You're never too sure. But I think that's just going to be a nice test to see, all right, you know, these guys are deep threats in a different way than maybe a receiver would be. And so I'm going to assume they'll be on opposite teams, whatever that looks like. And so you should get a really nice look at both of them as they head into it. Of course, SMU did pick up UCLA transfer running back TJ Harden in the transfer portal. He was the Bruins' leading rusher last season, but he will join the Mustangs in the summer. And so, of course, he will not be playing. He's not even on campus yet. On the Hilltop. So again, it's, you know, one last opportunity for these two guys to prove, look, that's great. TJ Harden's coming in. He's going to complement us both very well, being around the, you know, 6'2", 215-pound frame. But we're still the two best backs, and we've got, you know, the most danger to break one loose each and every play. So we'll have to wait and see, but I think that's also a position where SMU feels pretty good about. And then, of course, they will also have true freshman Dremico Green coming in the summer, who the staff is very high on, and I think most people now are very high on. But in terms of who SMU has right now and who we will see tomorrow night, it'll be the Derek McFall and Chris Johnson show. Next up, moving over to wide receiver, another position where you lose a lot of guys from last year. You talk about Keyshawn Smith, Mucci Dixon, and then two guys in the slot, Jake Bailey and Roderick Daniels Jr. SMU is able to bring back Jordan Hudson, and he is someone who might have had one of the best springs out of anyone that I've seen. It started on day one, and it's continued, you know, all the way until, as far as I know, hopefully tomorrow, where him and Kevin Jennings have just built a really strong connection. He is the deep threat on the outside so far, and we'll talk about the freshmen and what they could do and produce down the line. But for right now, it's Jordan Hudson, and, you know, if you've been watching the podcast for a while, you know SMU's been looking for that alpha receiver since Arashi Rice. And I think Jordan Hudson has the potential to be just that. Now, before we break down the rest of the receiver room, let's hear from our good friends at Rusty Taco.
The On the Pony Express podcast is also presented by our friends at Rusty Taco. That's right, the Greenville Avenue location. You can still get those free corn fritters with any purchase when you mention Pony Express at the register, or for online orders, you type in the code Pony Express. Corn fritters are a great complement to any meal at Rusty Taco, and also the margaritas go down great with them as well. But check out their new menu. Looking forward to, obviously, anytime we get by Rusty Taco, but they've been a great partner for us, and they've always supported the struggling SMU student on those hungover weekend days with their great breakfast tacos, as well as just tacos for all hours of the day. So Rusty Taco, check out their patio as well, right there on the Greenville Avenue location. Great time. Love Rusty Taco. Appreciate their support of the On the Pony Express podcast.
Thank you to Rusty Taco for sponsoring the On the Pony Express podcast. So after Jordan Hudson, lining up on the other side, on the outside as a receiver, will be most likely Romello Brinson, who SMU, you know, due to some injuries, some lingering injuries last year, was able to redshirt and get him back for another year. And that is crucial. You know, he had a big impact in that ACC championship game, and the Mustangs expect him to be, you know, right up there with Jordan Hudson in terms of receiving yards, receptions, and all those statistics. And so it's a, you know, a chance for him to sort of cement his name right at the top of the wide receiver room, if it's not already there. And he's shown, you know, great signs of progress as well. He's different to Jordan Hudson, is where he's not maybe going to beat you deep as much, but he loves, you know, a little 10-yard comeback route. He can beat you over the middle. Out in space is where he shines too. And so, you know, between those two, you've got to like the top of the room. But behind them, you look in the slot and you've got Jackson Lavender and you've got, you know, Randy Reese, a couple of young, unproven guys to this point. You know, both players have great opportunities to try and grab hold of that starting spot in the slot. SMU is, I think maybe tomorrow, bringing in a potential slot receiver from the transfer portal. So, you know, stay on theponyexpress.com to get all the details on what the Mustangs are up to in the transfer portal. But it is a potential where the Mustangs could dip into the transfer portal to look for a starting slot receiver. But again, it's just one more opportunity for either Jackson Lavender or Randy Reese to step up and say, you know what? No, like, we've got us. We've got options in the slot that you don't need to go and spend NIL money and get someone else in the slot. So we'll have to see. It's a big night for those two to again, prove to the staffs that they are, you know, capable of playing at an ACC level. And then, of course, the true freshman receivers in Daylon Singleton from DeSoto and Jalen Cooper from Cibolo, Texas. Both guys have had great springs. For me, Jalen Cooper has been really fun to watch. Both receivers have started their development on the outside behind a Jordan Hudson and a Romello Brinson. And so the sky's the limit for them. And I think you'll see both players, you know, have an impact in tomorrow's game, whatever that looks like. You know, Daylon Singleton's speed, everybody knows about it from DeSoto, one of the fastest receivers in the country, one of the fastest players on the field, no matter who's on the field. And then Jalen Cooper with his excellent route running ability, you've seen him get open time and time again throughout the spring, no matter who's throwing it to him, whether it is Ty Hawkins' fellow early enrollee or if it is Keldrick Luster, as both guys have been able to get opportunities and reps with the twos and even a few reps with the ones. And so those are a couple of receivers that I think SMU expects to play right away this coming season, and they'll showcase that tomorrow night in their spring game. At tight end, this is an interesting position because, of course, you're without Matthew Hibner and you're without RJ Maryland. RJ Maryland still recovering from his knee injury that he suffered against Stanford in the middle of October last season. And then Matthew Hibner got banged up early on in spring ball, and the staff said, you know what? We know what we got with Matthew Hibner. Let's just shut him down and make sure he's ready to go when fall camp comes around in a few months. So it's going to be a big night for Adam Moore, who sort of steps up. He was injured for a lot of last season, you know, played a lot in his true freshman season a couple years ago, but he was ended up redshirting this past year really due to injury. And so he's had a really impressive spring, you know, again, has gotten a lot of opportunities due to the injuries of Hibner in Maryland, and he's taken advantage. And I think you'll see him, you know, produce tomorrow night as well. Behind him, you've got Tripp Reardon, who again, you know, these are just a couple of tight ends. They've just got to take advantage of these opportunities. Of course, it's unfortunate that you've got the injuries to Maryland and Hibner, but if they're both able to, you know, make a full recovery, which it sounds like they're on track to do, then it's been, you know, a great opportunity for a couple of these younger guys to get big time reps in the spring and hopefully, you know, get them a little more ready for the fall and for the 2025 season. For the offensive line, it's a new group. Of course, you've got Logan Parr returning, who is really just the leader of that group. He's been really the leader of that group for a couple of years. You know, they had a lot of experienced guys last year, but you also bring back a PJ Williams, a Savion Bird on the outside as your tackles. And so this group, I think, has the potential to be even better than last year's offensive line. Now, have we seen it yet? It's still April, so I'm not so sure. We'll have to wait a little bit there, but the talent is there when you think about they brought in a Joshua Bates. They brought in an Addison Nichols, who started 12 games at center for Arkansas, obviously in the SEC, and he has lived up to the hype so far. But you've still got returning guys like, you know, Nate Anderson and Alex Woods and Andrew Chambly that are all still, you know, they're still here and they can absolutely fight for a starting spot. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow sort of, first of all, how they split up. You know, the offensive line, do they just want all of the what they envision as the top five offensive linemen together to, you know, continue to gel? Or do they want to mix it up and try different rotations and see who works well together? So Coach Justice, you know, has, again, a ton of options to see what he wants to do tomorrow night. And again, the talent is there. It's just a matter of time, truly. And so, you know, we'll see how they stack up against also a very new-looking SMU defensive line. Now, on the defensive line, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Ja'Kai Lang committing to SMU. SMU lost a ton of production on the defensive line, on the interior and on the outside. But they brought in some guys, especially a couple of who I assume will start tomorrow, players on the interior of the defensive line in Jeffrey Embaugh, the transfer from Purdue, and Terry Webb, the transfer from Texas State. Both guys, you know, produced a little bit at their former schools, but they have both looked excellent in spring so far. Jeffrey Embaugh, he is very big in stature, but, you know, not the biggest guy, but he has great technique, and his pure power, you know, sometimes is too much for offensive linemen when they go one-on-one or even just in tempo drills and things like that. Whereas Terry Webb, again, complements him well because he's not just a straight power guy. He's got some really nice finesse moves to get by offensive linemen. And so those two, you know, again, I expect to look really, really sharp on Friday night. On the outside, got a couple of returners in Cam Robertson and Isaiah Smith, who, you know, we're behind a Jafari Harvey and Elijah Roberts, respectively, but certainly still, you know, made their mark last year and are ready to sort of take over and take that next step. And again, Isaiah Smith has looked great. He's even, you know, gotten, I think, a pick six in one practice. So really heads up play there. But also, you know, for Cam Robertson, it's a big opportunity for him as well, because, again, with sort of Elijah Roberts moving on, and, you know, that's another name that will maybe hopefully have his name called on Friday night in the second or third rounds. But it's a chance for him to prove and just take over that position. You know, Ja'Kai Lang, as I mentioned yesterday, is coming into that room and likely going to be a depth piece for SMU. And that's because Cam Robertson has looked, you know, super strong so far this spring. Beyond that, again, it's going to be a question of depth. I think that's why you've seen SMU go out and still get guys in the transfer portal at the defensive line. Talk about Ja'Kai Lang committing from Missouri yesterday. Today, or I should say on Tuesday, on Wednesday, it was William Spencer, the defensive tackle from Louisville, who, you know, committed to Louisville out of high school as an offensive lineman, but made the move across the line of scrimmage, you could say, to a defensive lineman. And he comes in at 6'5", over 300 pounds, And, you know, both players have 3 years of eligibility, but the size that William Spencer has, I think, makes him a potential factor right away and that in that sort of nose tackle position. And so, again, of course, neither player is on SMU's campus yet. Neither player will play in tomorrow night's game. But I think those are a couple of depth pieces where maybe SMU, you know, didn't see quite enough in the options they had when you talk about the depth of the defensive line. And so that'll be really, I think, a storyline to watch tomorrow is beyond those starting four that I mentioned, who steps up in the defensive line. And one name that has been mentioned a lot other than those four is Billy Walton, who's sort of been backing up Isaiah Smith, if you will, but the Texas transfer who transferred in ahead of last season. I mean, he is a grown man and he has looked really, really good. But besides him, who can step up in that defensive line room? That's a big question and a big storyline heading into the SMU spring game. For linebacker, again, more turnover here. You lost two absolute studs in Kobe Wilson and Ahmad Walker. You bring back Alex Kilgore headed into his junior year. And I mean, he's ready. Let's just put it that way. When you look at what he's done, when you are at practice and you hear him, he is one of the most vocal players at practice. He is ready to shine in this SMU defense. And I think that's exactly what he will do on Friday night and in 2025. I don't think there's much else to say about Alex Kilgore. Beyond him, Zakai Barker, an East Carolina transfer, you know, was, I believe, an all-AAC second team last year. And he has come in and he has also looked really, really good in spring. You know, he's, again, fits that sort of mold as maybe an undersized, underappreciated linebacker. But he is physical. He loves, you know, finding the holes that the defensive line sort of create by picking up double teams and getting stops in the backfield. And I think those two, you do have to feel really, really good about sort of as your, you know, top two linebackers that are going to be out there to start every drive. When you talk about the depth of the linebacker room, I think that's a position SMU may look in the transfer portal, but if they don't end up getting a depth piece at the linebacker position, maybe one with multiple years of eligibility, you still have to like what you have. You've got Brandon Miazono, who has been with SMU for a long time. He knows the system. He's sort of waited his time. And I think Friday night, but also this upcoming season will be, you know, big opportunity for him to sort of break through, get into the rotation more consistently, because he was playing up until he got injured in that Duke game a fair amount. But I think he's ready for his moment. And then probably alongside him, if you talk about the two deep, you'll see Brandon Booker, who SMU flipped from Stanford out of high school last year. He redshirted this past year, but the staff was high on him when he came to campus last year. And he's only given them, you know, more reason to be confident heading into this season. So, again, we'll see that. I think, again, similar to the depth of the defensive line, the depth of linebacker is certainly something to watch on Friday night, because I think it's an area where SMU could look into the transfer portal for one more guy if they feel like they need to. Now let's move on to the secondary and sort of wrap this one up. This will be a little bit of a shorter podcast. Again, we'll have a lot more coverage on the other side of the spring game. But at defensive back, you know, Marcellus Barnes, the impressive transfer from Syracuse, formerly of Macaulay School in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in high school. He has been wearing a no-contact jersey in practice really since the beginning of spring ball. So I'm not sure if we're going to see him or how much we're going to see of him on Friday night, but I think he's not a nailed-on starter, but there's reason to believe that he could very well start for SMU week one. But again, because of an injury that's not believed to be serious and more precautionary, if SMU is gonna you know, let him sit and stay out of the game, it's a chance for other players to make a statement. When you think of Deuce Harmon, who came in and, as Billy Embody has mentioned, you know, had to sort of adjust culturally from a Jimbo Fisher's Texas A&M to a Rhett Lashley SMU, and I think now, with another year under his belt, with his first year under his belt here at SMU, I think he's ready to take that next step. And he will want to be a starter again, maybe alongside a Marcellus Barnes, maybe alongside a Smoke, a Jalen Davis Robinson, who's, again, transferred in from LSU a couple of years ago now, and he's got the athleticism, still waiting to see him, you know, fully hit his potential, but I think the potential is still there. And so what can he produce on Friday night? Can he get a turn, force a turnover, break up a couple passes? We'll just have to wait and see there. And then when you look to the younger guys, you've got, you know, William Speedy Nettles, the redshirt freshman corner from the Dallas area. He's looked good this spring. I think, you know, he got into some games and some blowouts last year, and it was good experience for him. So similar to a lot of these redshirt freshmen, can he take that next step and break into the rotation? Again, the opportunity will be there. I think SMU's kind of done at corner. I would not expect the Mustangs to add another player into this room, at least out of the transfer portal. I think it's safety. Maybe it's a different story. We'll see. But I think it's a big opportunity for Will Nettles. And then lastly, another early enroll, Javion Holiday, the corner from Duncanville. You know, again, he got thrown into the deep end, and he is fighting out there each and every day. And he's looked good, and he's shown flashes. And so it'll be, again, another opportunity for SMU fans to lay eyes on another one of these true freshmen for the first time in person. Lastly, we'll move on to safety, where SMU, of course, loses Jonathan McGill, who was not only a big-time playmaker, but a big-time leader on this team. But you've also got a couple of returning guys that have been with SMU for a while, know the system, know the culture. And of course, I'm talking about Isaiah Wachovia and Ahmad Moses. These are two stud safeties. Again, you have to feel really, really good about these guys when they're on the field for SMU, you know, reading the eyes of the quarterback, forcing turnovers, but also just getting tackles. When you think about what SMU lost at linebacker and Ahmad Walker and Kobe Wilson, two tackling machines, you saw Isaiah Wachovia. He was normally the third guy right up there in tackles. And so can you see him? I don't want to keep saying take that next step, but can you see him continue to be among the top tacklers at SMU? And then maybe Ahmad Moses as well is up there. Another name I do want to mention here is true freshman Tyron Pauly, another Duncanville sort of defensive back, man. He has looked really, really strong in spring ball, and I think fans will see that Friday night. I mean, he looks already like he's been in the SMU weight room for a year or two. He looks the part, and he's, again, playing with physicality. That's what you've got to love about this SMU defense. They're not afraid to tackle. They love contact. They want to, you know, hit players hard. And so he is no different to that. And it's an exciting group. It's an exciting group. Again, I think maybe SMU could look into the transfer portal there if they wanted to. But at least initially on paper, they've got a lot of talent at that position and a lot of expectations for the secondary to sort of step up, where SMU lost a lot, again, on the defensive line. So you're going to need the secondary as a whole to sort of step up while this defensive line gels and sort of figures out their strengths and identity. But I think they have the opportunity to do that. So before we wrap up this podcast, there is an SMU commit I want to mention. But also, we sort of have recapped now what to look for on the spring game. Again, we will have more coverage on the OnThePonyExpress.com website following the game. Really, immediately following the game, we'll get to hear from Coach Lashley as well. And we'll have a podcast later that week. But before we head out, we want to hear from our friends at the Thomas Auto Group and then also talk about a new SMU football commit.
The On the Pony Express podcast is also presented by our friends at the Thomas Auto Group. Make sure you head up 75 to McKinney, check out their Ford, Subaru, Volkswagen dealerships, learn about the Thomas Promise, and also when you mention On the Pony Express, you get employee pricing on new and pre-owned vehicles. So check out the Thomas Promise today, and we appreciate Brandon Thomas, an SMU alum, supporting us at the On the Pony Express podcast.
At Thomas Auto Group, the Thomas Promise includes the low price promise,
the pre-owned promise, and the 72-hour exchange promise.
And finally, the 100% customer satisfaction promise. So shop Thomas Auto Group today, home of the Thomas Promise.
So thank you again to the Thomas Auto Group and all of our sponsors for sponsoring the On the Pony Express podcast. So really quickly, just to recap in terms of storylines, and if you want to look at certain position groups to watch, you know, tomorrow night at the Pettis practice fields, I think you have to look at running back. do the two young running backs, you know, look good enough? Of course, they have TJ Harden and Jermico Green coming, but can Derek McFaul and Chris Johnson sort of show what they've accomplished in the spring? And again, you know, put a nice cap on spring and get ready for the fall. I think wide receiver is another one. How do these freshman wide receivers look? They've looked great all spring. I mean, again, you could really make a storyline for each one of these position groups. I think offensive line might be the biggest one in terms of the offense, what the rotations look like, who steps up maybe at right guard. That's sort of been a question mark at spring. You've seen Joshua Bates. You've seen Nate Anderson. There have been rumors of maybe pushing PJ Williams inside to right guard and letting an Andrew Chambly play at right tackle. A lot of options and opportunities there. On the defensive side, I think that the depth is really what you want to see across the board. I've mentioned how strong the starting defensive line is, starting linebacker core, the starting safeties, right? And so can you see the depth really show out tomorrow night and make plays? I think that is sort of the main storyline to watch there on the defensive side. But SMU did pick up a commit early Wednesday morning from William Spencer, the defensive tackle from Louisville, standing at 6'5", over 300 pounds. Again, I mentioned it earlier when talking about the defensive line, but can he maybe take over at nose tackle? SMU lost Tank Booker last year. Not that he's going to come in and have that sort of, you know, production or impact as a redshirt sophomore, but can he break into the rotation and attract those double teams with his size? I think that would be, you know, a big plus for SMU. They don't have someone like that on their roster right now. You've got Jeffrey Embaugh, who seems to be a different sort of player, pure power, pass rush sort of guy from the interior. And so what can William Spencer add to this group? Again, along with Ja'Kai Lang, both players are on the younger side with 3 years of eligibility left. So it's an exciting addition for SMU. He had four tackles last year against Georgia Tech, SMU, and then Kentucky. Again, that nose tackle sort of role, not always going to lead the stat sheets in tackles or tackles for loss or sacks. So his impact goes beyond the four tackles that he had last year. And he will come to SMU in the summer and again, look to try and get into that two deep and beyond and see how, well, he's first going to have to learn how to, you know, get coached under Coach Tibbs. And Coach Thibodeau is, you know, known for getting the most out of his defensive linemen, and he's done it year in, year out. And I expect this year to be no different. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap this one up. I'm excited to watch the spring game tomorrow. I'm sure many of you all will be there. I will see you guys, I think maybe closer to Monday of next week, Monday or Tuesday of next week, to sort of recap the SMU spring game. And then maybe later in the week, we will recap the spring as a whole. And then before you know it, by the end of next week, SMU will have a huge recruiting weekend going on at the beginning of May with some top talent from Texas and really across the country coming to the Hilltop. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap this one up. I'm Dean Rolski. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for listening to the On the Pony Express podcast with Billy Embody.
Follow us on your socials on X at SMUon3 and on Instagram at On3SMU.
And keep it locked to OnThePonyExpress.com for more coverage.